edition of the Nerdcore Podcast. I'm your host, used to be in Mexico, Mike, and my co-host, Richie O'Leary.
Not in Mexico.
A lot happened today, so we are here to kind of go over a very busy day in Rutgers sports, including a transfer portal commitment for the football team, a big-time visitor, second visitor in the transfer portal for the football team, talk about Gavin Wimsatt's landing spot, and we're going to talk about the NIL tournament that Rutgers seemingly has all but locked up entrance in that will happen over Thanksgiving. But first, our presenting sponsor is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans, are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered, from t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories. Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. All right, let's talk about this commitment. It comes from Shedrick Rhodes of Ohio University. He's been a full-time starter there for the last two seasons, primarily at right tackle, where he started basically every game the last two seasons for the Bobcats. He saw a big improvement in terms of grading on PFF from 2022 to 2023, especially in the pass blocking area. So his first three seasons at the University of Ohio, he had a pass blocking grade of 39, which is not good. 47, also not good. 48, also not good. In 2023, he saw that jump up to a 76.2, which is really good. Overall, he had a 65.9 grade in 2023. This is a big-time pickup. He's a big kid. He's listed at 6'6", 320. He's coming in to be a right tackle for Rutgers. Talk about how Rutgers kind of figured out, found out who this kid was, got him on campus, and wrapped him up.
Yeah, it sounds like obviously you have two defensive line coaches that are both coming from the conference. Makes it pretty easy to identify if there is any talent at the MAC level. But it seems like a pretty good pickup. He's coming in from Georgia, or he's from Georgia originally. Sorry, my dog's going nuts. coming in from Georgia originally. He seems like a solid multi-year starter at offensive line, mostly at right tackle. Interestingly enough, and I don't know if this is a PFF mistake, I have to go back and watch the tape. But out of the 12 games last season, he was a right tackle for 11 of them. The last game of the season, he was at right guard. So there is a little bit of versatility. I am told he's probably going to play tackle. He's going to be the starter at right tackle, if I had to guess. You don't bring in a guy like this to sit the bench. You've heard that before, like when we talked about the quarterback, same situation. Now that's where, I mean, you get a key multi-year starter, number one, and now you kind of start to fill in the gaps on your offensive line. And now with a big question mark, still right guard, but this kid seems pretty decent. I mean, he was a PFF team of the week 2 years ago in 2022. I mean, he's probably going to compete, but I think he gets the job almost not immediately, but pretty quickly.
Yeah, especially coming out of spring, you don't take a guy like this unless you see, okay, we probably need to shore this up. It also makes Shiano's comments about him having a good idea of who the starting five on the offensive line would be. To me, taking a guy like Shedrick Rhodes says, I know that the guys on the team aren't going to be playing right tackle this year. So we're going to get somebody. I don't know who it's going to be, but you don't necessarily say something like that and take a guy like Shedrick.
I forgot about that.
If you didn't already kind of have a good idea of where you were leaning. Like you said, he's played both of our defensive line coaches this past year. The combined score of those games was Ohio beat Bowling Green and Kent State by a combined 80-24. So a bit of an ass kicking on both of those matchups. He didn't allow a sack in any of those games. He had his best game of the season, actually, PFF grading wise, against Bowling Green, where he had a game score of 72.7. So clearly, you know, if you're a defensive line coach, you probably, outside of an offensive line coach, have the best idea of who the strongest offensive linemen are in terms of performance. So this was probably played heavily into the decision to recruit this kid, was that you had two defensive linemen who vouched for him and talked about how hard he was to go against. But where do you see him taking the right tackle role? What do you see as what happens at right guard now? Is this a situation where you think maybe Reggie Sutton kicks inside. Is this kind of Kobe Osamoah's job to win? I know you can't really say everything about what you saw, yeah, but where do you see things turning at the right guard spot?
I think Sutton stays a tackle. We actually asked about this in spring. I don't know if we asked Pat Flaherty, if we asked Shiano, or even Kirk. I forget who it was. One of them mentioned it's like, no, Sutton's a tackle. Like, he's not playing anything else. He's limited. So it is tough to, like, have him as a full-time starter for an entire season. So it makes sense. Now, Tyler Needham's technically built like a guard. He's only 6'4", 300. I mean, I know you can't would put, like, height on positions specifically, but I would be intrigued to see if he plays a little guard this year, or at least is going to compete at guard this year. I'd be intrigued to see if they bump him inside and then probably compete with Kobe Osamoah. I think it'd probably be those two who are going to compete for that starting job. I don't see something moving, just to clarify. That's really it. I mean, you can go hit the portal again and see if you can find someone. But usually these offensive linemen, like a guy like Shedrick, like last year, I know a guy like with him with multi-year starter capabilities, probably going for like 400, 500K. I don't know what they, I mean, they definitely more than likely paid him something because that's just how the world works right now. Yep. But I don't know what his amount was, but I have a hard time seeing it being that much, especially because he is such an academic kid. I think he's a chem major. I forget what it was. Something crazy.
It was some kind of impressive thing. I'll look it up now.
Yeah, so I mean, academics obviously played a big role, Rutgers Academic School, and everyone knows it except people in Jersey for some reason. But yeah,
so he was a chemistry pre-pharmacy major at Ohio. Yeah,
good for him, man. So obviously academics played a factor here and definitely helps. But yeah, now going back to your question, I think it's going to be Kobe and, I mean, potentially Tyler Needham there. But I do like Kobe a lot. I think Kobe showed some flashes over the past couple of years. And he's got legs the size of tree trunks too, so it's going to be hard to move him.
Yeah, yep. Another interesting wrinkle about Shedrick is that he was actually offered by Chris Ash and company out of high school back in 2019, and he decided to spurn Rutgers to go to Ohio back then, which you can't really blame a kid for not wanting to come to Rutgers back in 2019, but I thought that was an interesting wrinkle. He had a tweet getting the offer, I believe, in September of that year. So
yeah, I got to go back. I don't even know. Oh, we do have – no, we don't have an article on him. But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He did kind of burn Rutgers back then. It's crazy how much – what are we talking, 5 years ago? He was a 2019 kid, six years ago? Yeah. How much things have changed completely? Now we're talking potential double-digit win seasons. And back then it was like they got two this year.
Yeah, and speaking of double-digit win seasons, like you got to love the the success that he had at Ohio. The last two seasons, Ohio has won 10 games in both seasons, so he's coming from a winning program.
Yeah.
He helped what's his name? The quarterback at Ohio ended up
– Curtis Rourke.
Curtis Rourke had two really huge seasons for the Bobcats as well in his 2 years there.
Now starting for the Hoosiers.
Now the starting quarterback, likely for Indiana. In 22, he had 3,200 yards for 25 touchdowns and four interceptions, throwing 69%. Nice completion percentage. This past year, he had a bit of a dip where he had 2,200 yards, 11 touchdowns, five interceptions. But I also believe he got hurt this past year. He got hurt at some point. He didn't play as much for Ohio, but still some pretty good numbers. They had a pretty good offensive line as well at Ohio this past year. Basically everybody was grading in the 60s or higher. So
the biggest takeaway I would say is that he just improved each of his years there. Like he didn't play year one, year two, and then just got better and better and better. So 1,000-yard rusher in 2022 also, so he kind of knows how to block behind a good running back or in front of a good running back.
Yep, love to see that.
Plus his dance moves.
He had a viral moment this past year where Ohio had one of those weird dancing lineman plays. I don't necessarily, it's supposed to be just as a distraction. He lined up as the sixth lineman, and Rourke just like rolled out, and he's doing these crazy dance moves.
This is him, just to clarify.
Yep. Yeah.
At that point, you should probably start blocking, but.
Yeah. I just don't, he didn't want to, I think, get in trouble for blocking downfield. So
yeah.
I think that's the thought there.
That's hilarious.
So he was one of the MAC visitors on campus this past week, but he wasn't the only one. This is a guy in CJ West, the former Kent State defensive tackle, who we've been talking about, I feel like, for, you know,
months
now.
Yeah.
Since basically Colin Farrell got hired as the defensive line coach for Rutgers, we said, hey, they got an absolute stud at Kent State at defensive tackle. If he was ever to even sniff the portal, Rutgers is going to probably be all over him, and I would too. He was on campus this past week, at the same time as the aforementioned Shedrick Rhodes, who was hosted by Mo Turay. How did the visit for CJ West go, and do you think there might be another commitment on the horizon here?
So this one's interesting. It sounds like it went pretty well. We were told previously Rutgers won't, or I shouldn't say Rutgers won't get involved. We were told previously there were some academic things that they have to take care of.
And that's a big CJ.
I'm sorry. Sugar, yes. Yeah. Because LSU was like going to host him last week, and they, or 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, LSU was going to host him. And then they all of a sudden backed off when they found out his transcripts and all that. And there's another issue with his graduation. I think as long as he graduates, though, it should have no issue with him getting in. The issue is that he graduates, I believe, in August, I was told. So that's going to play a factor with training camp, obviously. I don't know when their exact graduation date is, but I know some people have found the Kent State final grade submissions, and that's not till August 13th or 15th or something like that. That's half of training camp. Now, mind you, he's still that good of a prospect that he's probably still in football shape. He's going to have to learn a little bit in terms of play calling, but he's also going to come into a room where it's already his defensive line coach, and it's probably some similarities there in terms of like just in terms of just knowing the schemes, knowing what's what. So that could definitely help. And also, you're playing Howard, Akron, bye week. You really don't need them till week four, if we're going to be honest here.
Yeah. Yep.
So add those 4 weeks along with, or those 3 weeks along with half of training camp, if you can get them in. I think it would be huge. Now, this is a kid that had multiple Power Five offers too. Michigan, who's this? West Virginia, Cal. That's Cal. Texas A&M, Arkansas, Wazoo, Kansas State, Miami, Colorado, LSU, Indiana. Like this kid's one of the better portal kids, and arguably one of the top spring transfer portal kids too, if not the top spring transfer portal guy. This would be a huge, huge addition, both physically and literally. He just produces at a high rate. He's a great defensive tackle. We know they need another body at defensive tackle because Renee Conga's gone to Louisville, I believe. So, this would be absolutely huge if Rutgers can pull this one off. But there's nothing really else to be said. He's just that good of a player.
Where does Rivals have him ranked on the transfer portal rankings? Do you know?
I just saw it. I think he's in the 600s. Mind you, this is like every prospect in the portal currently. 627 at the moment, which is a 5.6 3-star. In terms of defensive tackles, I should probably look up that.
That feels off. I feel like that is pretty a pretty bad rating for him, given the amount of offers he has.
Yeah, I kind of don't disagree with you on that one. I have to look into it. Defensive lineman. And it's not going to load. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where is he? West. Nope. CJ West. I don't know. He's pretty down the. Oh, there he is. He's probably top 60. It seems like there's a lot of guys out there.
Yeah, right. I mean, I just
production wise, he should be higher.
Yeah, for reference, but this kid is way outplaying that ranking, and also getting a lot more attention than somebody at that ranking would probably normally get. He'd be a huge pickup, and obviously. Rutgers has the connection with Colin Farrell. That's the main reason why we got him on campus. And I mean, you probably don't take him. You don't probably don't bring him on campus unless you feel pretty good about your chances and pretty good about sticking with him on those the grade situation. Because if you remember a couple of years ago, Taj Harris was supposed to go to Kentucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up parting ways with Kentucky because I think they saw his grade situation was so bad that there was just no way he was going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rutgers, behind the scenes, quietly worked in silence to kind of get him, to guide him on how to get into Rutgers, I believe. And, you know, that one random day we happened to see him in the student directory, it wouldn't surprise me if something similar happened here, where Rutgers kind of works behind the scenes to kind of guide him on the right path to get his mm-hmm. situation right, and then ends up just showing up at Rutgers.
I mean, listen, they're very, very close with him. And by they, I mean Colin Farrell specifically, the new D-line coach. They are, I think when he entered the portal, it was like, or when he first left, I should say, Colin Farrell left, posted on Instagram, and he said, love you, coach, and love you too, all that stuff. He recruited him to Kent State, was with him at Kent State for several years. They tweeted back and forth at each other for several years. I know this is just social media, so you can judge it the way you want, but on top of that, it just sounds like, from what we're hearing, they're just very, very close with one another. And like you said, get them to campus, and we'll see what happens. I would kind of feel pretty confident if I were Rutgers right now.
Yeah, it's I don't believe. Do you know if he's taken any other visits as well? Like you'd mentioned the Ohio or the LSU visit that he canceled. Did he end up making a visit elsewhere?
He went to not Indiana. He was going to go to Indiana. He visited Wisconsin. I don't know if he made the Indiana visit or not, but he did have it scheduled. There was some talk about Colorado trying to get him on campus, but Colorado's trying to get anyone that will take a scholarship on campus.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think he ended up making the Indiana visit from what I know, but just Got Wisconsin, it sounds like.
Gotcha. So we'll hear more on this, I'm sure, in the coming days and weeks, but big time visitors on campus. Got one of them reeled in already. The second we are waiting to hear back on. Another visitor, not for Rutgers, but a former Rutgers player, Gavin Wimsatt, he visited Kentucky this week, and he ended up making a commitment today to Kentucky. A bit of a surprise to some, but tell us a little bit about what's going on with Gavin going to Kentucky, and kind of, is he going to be a guy that competes for the starting job down there, or what was the pitch to get him to Kentucky?
So the pitch was basically, you're QB2, you have a chance to play some football. I mean, he's going to compete with Bo Allen for that QB2 spot specifically. He's going to be more of a Swiss Army knife per our Kentucky guys down there. They'll use him in probably like goal line situations. They'll probably use him whenever they're within the 20-yard line maybe in terms of running situations. But they are going to keen in on his running ability. I was told they targeted three different quarterbacks in the portal this spring cycle, and with the intent of, number one, bringing in a backup that could be competent, and at worst comes to worst. The quote I was told, at worst comes to worst, they can win six games. It's a decent Kentucky team. It's still the SEC, so, but he's not going to beat up Brock Vandegrift. Kid's a stud, coming in from Georgia. I think he was one of the highest-ranked kids in his 2021 class.
He was the eighth overall prospect in the class of 2021.
Yeah, he's a full-blown stud. He's like QB1 all throughout. They just wanted a guy that could run a little bit and someone they can use kind of in like a Johnny Langan type situation. Maybe not in that same exact style, but someone that can run, use his legs. It's an interesting choice because he was talking to New Mexico State quite a bit. It sounded like they promised him the starting job. Which makes sense. I mean, they lost their quarterback too. Ironically, they have a Kentucky transfer coming in too, which it's just everything, all roads lead to Kentucky, I guess. But, it is what it is. I mean, I wish him well. I hope he does well. It's a weird decision. If you wanted to be this backup, you could have just been the backup at Rutgers personally, but
yeah, but maybe he, you know, I never fault a guy for wanting to go home either. Maybe that was playing into his decision.
Always a factor. I mean, they finished second in his recruitment. Don't forget.
Yep.
So
I also think something to think about too is, you know, when you are the starting quarterback, you're the incumbent, and then you kind of lose that job. I think it's a lot harder than coming into a place and like knowing you're going to be the backup. Like that is kind of what you come in accepting that. I think it's just kind of two entirely different situations. And, you know, for the team itself, like, you don't know how that kind of where the allegiances would lie. I think for him, it was probably the fresh start that he needed. And for the, you know, for Rutgers, probably the fresh start that they needed as well. So I'm really happy that he ended up somewhere that he wanted to be at the end of the day.
Yeah, works for him. The Kentucky fans are joking because they did bring in another transfer quarterback in Bo Allen in the first portal cycle. And it's just like, you see all the memes. It's like Bo Allen punching air right now.
Well, they brought in Vandegrift too.
But now Bo Allen goes from QB2 to QB3 almost automatically. And
all of their scholarship quarterbacks weren't on the team last year.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a way to rebuild a room, though. Bring in a number 8 mm-hmm. overall kid.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've had a lot of success bringing in quarterbacks and, you know, especially guys like if you look at Will Levis, you know, he wasn't a starter at Penn State. And Liam Komen and Stoops down there were able to transform him from a backup into an NFL prospect. And I imagine that's used heavily in the pitch to get guys to come down there. It's like, hey, you know, regardless of what success you had at your last stop, you know, we have the pelts on the wall. We'll turn you into an NFL guy. So
I credit to them because that guy stinks.
Will Levis, as you know, was not a guy Penn State really even fought to keep when he wanted to go to Kentucky. And credit to him, he did turn him into an NFL prospect. Not that he's, you know, a guy that I would want leading my NFL team, but you know, he was a second round pick and he was talked about as potentially a top 5 pick in the draft for leading up to the day of the draft. So
absolutely insane. What a switch up.
Anything else football related before we talk about this this hoops development?
No, I'm keeping an eye on the they're still looking for a cornerback. It sounds like they want some guy with somebody with veteran experience back there. Makes sense because right now you're looking at Longer Beam, Eric Rogers, Bo Mascal. After that, it's a really big question mark. And how confident are you in Mascal being that third guy? I think they'd prefer someone with more experience there and let Mascal kind of grow because Mascal only had, what, one game of experience last year, and it was a pinstripe bowl. So, yeah, they definitely want to get a corner. Lavario Wiley was on campus for an official during the spring game weekend. Central Michigan guy, just graduated yesterday, today. I saw it on his social media. So definitely keep an eye on him because obviously he visited. But he also took visits elsewhere, and I can't remember. Oh, Michigan State and somewhere else. Being that he's a Central Michigan guy, I would assume if they take him, he'll probably go there. But a name nonetheless. We'll probably be keeping an eye out for a couple other cornerback names soon. Too. Jeez, I am struggling right now.
Yeah, imagine how I feel. So the last news item we have is hoops related. The CBS Sports had an article talking about how the NIL tournament called the Players Era Tournament that's going to be the week of Thanksgiving has finalized basically 7 of the 8 teams that will be competing. Those teams are Alabama, Notre Dame, Oregon, Rutgers. Do you have the list in front of you?
I don't, but I will pop it up real quick. I was going to look up their KenPom rankings this year.
Okay, so Alabama, Houston, Notre Dame, Oregon, Rutgers, San Diego State, and Texas A&M. So this is a tournament that each team competing will get $1 million that will be sent to the team in NIL funds via the NIL collectives of their respective schools.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't fully figured out if it's going to be one giant MTE or 2 4-team MTEs.
Yep.
That announcement will probably be made once things are finalized with the whole field. It's also talked about as a deal that could potentially be several years for teams. Discussions about the field expanding to 16 teams in 2025, potentially even more beyond that. It's going to be a big time event. So the days that will likely be played are November 26th, 27th, and 29th. So if you don't have a calendar in front of you, that is Tuesday. The Tuesday and Wednesday before Thanksgiving, then they'll take a day off for Thanksgiving Day. And then Black Friday, the 29th, will be the final day of the tournament. So big time news for the Hoops program, because this is where a good deal of NIL money is going to be coming from this year for the basketball program. So now that this is kind of getting finalized, I wonder if the basketball program will be a little bit more froggy when looking for additional players in the portal. Maybe not.
Sure.
I think it's already kind of been factored in a bit. But what's your take on this tournament finally getting sewed up here?
I'm tired of people asking me for these questions every week. When, is it going to happen in Vegas? Why, we're still in the Cayman. What are we doing? Like, I'm like, no, just relax. Like, we're See, she's pissed off too. He can't forget. I'm just tired of people asking me. I'm just glad it's finally over and done with. So, $1 million is pretty nice. How you separate that among the team seems like you can do it any way you want. I have a feeling Alabama's going to do it a different way than Rutgers is going to do it. Personally, but that's just a guess. Three different arenas. I assume the finals would probably be MGM Grand. I guess they didn't announce it technically. It says it expected to be one or all of these arenas, MGM Grand, T-Mobile, and Michelob Ultra Arena. I'd assume the finals would be MGM Grand no matter what, but who knows. Curious to see what kind of crowd this is going to draw, because it is November. It is Thanksgiving weekend. Personally, will say I booked my trip a couple months ago, so I will be there 4 or 5 days in Vegas. Now, I might not be coming home at that point, but if I make it, I will be hopefully recording a podcast afterwards. But it's hard to predict too, because you don't know the format, you don't know the games. If it's a true tournament, like, do you predict Rutgers? Do you just book it and think Rutgers are going to make the finals? Like, there's some pretty damn good teams, I'm not going to lie. Houston's pretty good every year. Oregon's pretty good every year. Alabama's just loaded right now. And you get the Cliff Amore matchup too, which could be cool for Rutgers' sake. Texas A&M spends a ton. Notre Dame doesn't spend a ton, but they're like, meh. And a little payback for that that guy that, tried poaching some players a year ago, 2 years ago, Mike Shrewsbury.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of Rutgers-related storylines in this field. So Alabama, the Cliff one's obvious.
Yeah.
Houston knocked us out of the tournament in 21.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame knocked us out of the tournament in 22 and also tampered with a certain player who's no longer here. Yeah. Oregon tampered with a few of our guys. They ended up with Eugene Amore. They ended up with Jacob Young.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of cool storylines for Rutgers, possibly in this field. The last team, there hasn't really been any indications. And but this is, this is big time, guys. This is a huge accomplishment for Rutgers to even be considered for this. A few other scheduling things from Jerry Carino's article today. So other than the Players Era tournament, a few other games have been set. The Seton Hall game is in the process of being finalized for Saturday, December 14th. So right around the same time it's always at, but that'll be at Jersey Mike's, which will be an amazing crowd this year. He's reporting there'll be bye games against Wagner and St. Peter's. He's also saying there'll be a neutral site game at the Prudential Center against the High Major. It sounded like it was originally going to be Arkansas before Musselman left, which would have been awesome. Steve Peichel also really wants to play a game in MSG. We'll see if that's going to be a conference game or an out-of-conference game.
Sounds like a conference against UCLA or Michigan State, one of the two.
That'd be awesome. And the aforementioned game, I know it's been kicked around on Twitter. I don't think we've recorded and talked about it.
No.
Rutgers is going to play a game at Kennesaw State, which you may think, like, why the hell would we play at Kennesaw State? Nothing to gain there. Well, it's 15 minutes from McEachern High School. And as you know, two of our players, Jermichael Davis and Ace Bailey, both went to McEachern High School. So that is why they'll be playing there. It's one of those games, and we've seen Rutgers do this before. You know, with Eugene Omori, we played that game in Toronto, even though he decided to ditch us at the aisle or ditch us at the altar. So we ended up playing that game and lost. But that's why we're playing down at Kennesaw State. Should be a
they're Chattanooga natives. That doesn't make sense. It's an hour and a half from Chattanooga. Like,
yeah, it's right there. A very easy to get to game. Yeah. And this is a team too that they weren't very good last year. I don't know what their outlook looks like next year, but they went 15-16 in last year. Three of those games were against non-Division I teams. And against Quad 1, 2, and 3 teams, they went 0-7 last year. They didn't even play a Quad 1 team. So they played like seven Quad 2 or Quad 3 teams and lost all of them. So
yikes.
It should be a game that Rutgers can sleepwalk through and, you know, build a lot of good grace with the two guys from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Looks like they also lost their best player to South Florida. He's a 4-star in the portal, and Quincy Adamokoya. That was a good guess, I feel like. It's interesting. I like it. I mean, you're doing a favor to Ace. You're doing a favor to Jermichael. You're doing a favor to their families, too, because their families are just going to probably travel. You're probably going to get a pretty big Rutgers contingent there. The issue that I'm seeing right now is the KVU Convention Center. Is that what it was? I forget what it was. Doesn't hold many people. It's very small. It's an old school gym. It's nothing crazy. I like the atmosphere type thing. 4,600 people.
Yeah, that's not many.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess you could technically play it elsewhere, but like I don't know what's even there. Like, here's a picture of it. It isn't big.
No, geez, yeah.
Yeah, this is what is this, the A-Sun?
Yep,
something like that. A-Sun. So, yeah, not big at all. But if you want to get up close and personal and watch Ace Bailey dunk on some locals, there you go.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the best way to put it, I feel like. Kennesaw State's that weird team that like makes the tournament like once every like 8 years, and you're like, oh, look at them. That might be an upset, you know?
They made their first NCAA tournament 2 years ago. They ended up being a 14 seed. They lost to Xavier in the first round. That's their only NCAA tournament appearance as a Division I program.
Interesting.
They won a D2 national championship in 2004. That was the last postseason run they made. It was in 2004 prior to that.
The other games are whatever. Wagner is probably always going to be there. You're more so doing Wagner a favor by keeping your school open between football and basketball. What was the other one? St. Peter's. St. Peter's was decent last year. They're pesky. I would not count them out by any means. But this is a different Rutgers team. I think that would be pretty easy. But it might be like it's not going to be Q4, I don't think. And what was the other one? Oh, Seton Hall. That's huge. I mean, Saturday. It's not Sunday. That Sunday game was brutal. And there was a Prudential non-conference, you said, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to be against Arkansas, but now they don't know who it's going to be against because Musselman left.
It sounds, and this is just me speculating a little bit, and we said it when they scheduled the Mississippi State game like a year ago. When that Prudential deal happened, or whenever they had that Prudential deal happen, it sounds like that's part of the deal. They're going to go play a game at the Prudential Center. And it's fine. I mean, I'm okay with it. Train rides in. It's very easy. It's very simple to get to. You literally get off the train. You don't even have to walk in the streets. You can walk through the little tunnel thing, or not tunnel, little bridge thing, and it'll take you right outside the arena. Like, it's a great spot, and it's a big arena. I wonder if they'll open up the top for this one.
I can't imagine they wouldn't. If
depending on the matchup, go on. Sorry.
We basically heard there's so much demand for Rutgers hoops next year that they could probably sell twice as many season tickets as what was available. So I don't see any way that they're not opening that second deck. And another thing is that, if Rutgers shows really well and they make the NCAA tournament, they might get a little bit more preferential treatment from the selection committee because they like these arenas packed. They like to make money.
And so, you know where it's at this year?
The one of the regionals, it's at New York at the Prudential Center. So
it's gonna be huge.
Love to see it.
The other good thing is it seems like Pikel's actually upgrading the out of conference schedule again. I mean, it's needed to be done for a while now. I think they were. I'm looking now. They were according to Net, they were 154 last year and out of conference. And their net was 22 for total strength of schedule. So, I mean, that might even go up more. That might be crazy. And it might be a really tough tough matchups next year, which is fine. This is great. This is what we want. Like,
yep.
So, not going to be an easy one, but it's going to be a fun one. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely will. So, a little behind the scenes here. Well, we're recording this. It's now almost 10 o'clock. It's after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Recorded this right when I got home. So we didn't have the giveaway ready.
Troy Donovan update.
Let's hear it.
Trying to set up a visit with PJ Hayes. Exactly what we knew already.
Yeah. So nothing new there.
Yeah.
But if it's getting to him at this point, that means that, you know, he must have heard it through the grapevine, through other sources. So good to hear, because PJ Hayes would be exactly what the team would need in terms of an offensive, shooter and scorer. You know, one of the crazy things is he had a 9 3-point game this past season against Portland, where he hit 9 3-pointers. I think in like half of his games he hit three or more threes. So exactly the kind of shooter that Rutgers would need. But what I was saying before is that we don't have the giveaway results ready yet. So we'll extend it one more episode. Mm-hmm. So the next episode, we will do the giveaway. First place gets the Rutgers branded cornhole set. Second place gets the Rutgers stitch jersey. Third place gets the Dylan Harper signed autograph card. If you want to get an entry in, this is your last episode to do it. So in the comments below, you could say gimme, gimme, gimme as part of your comment. And that will get you an entry into the tournament, into the contest.
Yeah.
If you do a review on Apple Podcasts, you'll get two reviews if you mention gimme, gimme, gimme. So that's the way we prefer it. You get a 5-star review, you mention gimme, 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 and you'll have two entries into the contest. So good luck to you out there. Thanks for everybody listening and dealing with the crappy audio quality the last few episodes. Yeah. We're back to our regularly scheduled programming here.
People like the birds.
People awesome. Did like
that. Those were the comments. Yeah.
Yeah, I think those were two of our most commented episodes. So,
yeah.
But we do appreciate you guys interacting with us on the episodes and also reviewing the pod. Really helps grow the show and get new viewers. But for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Nerdcore Podcast.